It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence, continuing with Foghat's Roger Earle in our Atherton studio. You remember Foghat. Maybe you had their double platinum hit 1977 album, Foghat Live. Best-selling record, too, for the boys. 2 million-plus copies. So, back to that 77 All-Star Blues tribute show, which we sampled yesterday in our chat. Thinking of that, did y'all rehearse for it at all?
We came into the city to some of the rehearsals that some of the other bands, the other artists that were on. The backup bands that they had weren't cutting it. And so, Dave and I said, tell the other band that they're not needed, and then we'll go and talk to, the other artists, and we'll be their backup band.
You kind of muscled out the other backup band.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't have
what you needed for this gig.
We thought we did.
Were you
actually?
Running the
actually,
gig?
Actually, it was very selfish. We just wanted to play with our musical heroes.
Were you running it though? You guys could call the shots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did everything. In fact, our manager, Linda, was in charge of organizing everything there. Oh, another thing, I have to tell you this. It was my father's 60th birthday.
At this gig.
And I brought Mum and Dad over from England. And,
oh, cool.
Because I had more money than sense. Actually, my wife says if I had a dime, I'd have more money than sense. But I got them a really nice hotel in Park Lane. And, of course, they came to the show. There is their youngest son playing with his musical heroes. Now, of course, they knew who Muddy Waters was because when I was, like, 15 or 16, when I bought Muddy Waters live at Newport, I wore it out.
And they got to know it well.
They got it. So we're backstage at one point, and Mum and Dad, come over here. Mr. Waters, this is my Mum and Dad. Mum and Dad, Mr. Muddy Waters. And they shook hands, and it's like, that was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
That is an electric moment. And John Lee Hooker, any kind of cool...
Linda was backstage making sure that everything was working all right, and she went to John Lee and said, would you like something to eat? Because we had all this exotic food and like lots of wine and beer and cognac and whiskey and champagne. And apparently, John Lee said, honey, all I want is a bologna sandwich. You know, one of those big, thick ones, a thin one.
I love it, man. You can't...
John Lee.
You can't fake it.
There would be no Boogie if it wasn't for John Lee Hooker.
That's what I'm saying, cuz. I mean, when people you've got, I encourage anyone. Because I only got hip to this a few days ago, so I'm really coming to the party late, and I apologize. But when you watch this video, to see the smiles on your faces, especially Lonesome Dave, he's like a little kid at whatever holiday, and he just got given, like, the greatest gift. His eyes are so huge, the smile on his face.
Well, you know, one of the things is... you know, being a musician and like with my career, I played with some great players over the years, and I haven't forgotten how to be a fan. Mm. You know, that's the reason you start playing music. That's the reason you listen to music. It's the reason you buy records, because, you know, music moves you.
You mentioned it. You're playing with heroes. So at this point in your career, you've probably done the biggest hero jams you're ever going to do. If you were to look back and think of the most humbling sort of, doesn't have to be playing, could be any kind of hero encounter with one of these cats that maybe I mentioned, but maybe I haven't.
Willie Dixon. Meeting Willie Dixon was a real highlight. I've told this story many times.
Please tell this again.
Because it's the truth. It reaches you. We were doing three nights in the amphitheater in Chicago. The first night, Willie Dixon's daughter comes down. We just had the live album out, 1977. And the single off of the live album was I Just Want to Make Love to You. And of course, it was a hit single off of our very first album in 72. So the second night, his daughter comes down and brings her brother, Butch. And so, you know, we treat them like the prince and princess that we view them to be. And I guess we got a good report, because the third night we played there, Willie Dixon came down. And it was like, I've got a picture in our studio down in Florida of us, like, you know, with these big shit eating grins on our faces, like standing next to Willie Dixon. Beautiful man, gracious and funny. Anyway, he invited us over to his house. We couldn't go that night because we were leaving the next morning, and we said we came back about 6 months later, and we went over to the house on the south side.
Whole band?
No, just me, Dave, and Rod. Craig wasn't there. We had dinner, and we were up until about 3 or 4 in the morning, and Willie would send one of his kids up to the loft in his house and like bring down like 78s, and like I remember Dave and Rod would like hold this like slabs of like plastic and go wow. And Willie was beautiful. He would tell us stories about songs he'd written, sessions and stuff. And later on, what was it, a couple of years back, I think we went to Willie's Blues Foundation in Chicago, where his original studio was, the Chess Studios. Right. We'd have a private tour around the place. At one point, I'm standing in there, and there's, what was her name?
Janice.
Willie's daughter. Anyway, there's this rather beautiful woman, and she's looking at me like she knows me. And apparently, this was Willie's daughter. When we were over there at their house having dinner,
oh, wow.
She was 8 years old. And she helped serve us. That's why I didn't recognize her, because she was 8 then.
Right.
She told me this story. She said, at the time, my mum said, what do white people eat? And well, Dave was a vegetarian, and I like all food. But it was a beautiful night. That night, it will stay with me forever, meeting Willie and hanging out with his family and Butch. And it was something else. And Coco Taylor turned up that night, just came in and said hello.
At his house.
Johnny Guitar Watson, I think, turned up and came in and said hello. Because Willie was sort of like, he was a king.
Yeah, right.
He was. People would come and say hello. He was really a beautiful guy. Really cool. I mean, he was big too, like 6'6", something like that. And he always had this like brilliant smile. You know, without people like Willie Dixon, there would be no rock and roll.
And the food?
Willie's wife at the time did all the cooking.
Man.
Yeah, that was, you know, like 3 guys from South London, all of a sudden they're in the house of one of their musical heroes and having dinner with him and his family. It was something else. I'll take that with me to the grave.
That is a great one. Doesn't get any better than that. Well, question on the Willie, I guess, just pops into my head. How come he was not part of the blues tribute?
He was busy.
So he was sought.
Oh, yeah, of course. No, he was busy.
Sure, I get it.
The only ones who didn't get paid were us. Everybody got paid.
Bo Diddley?
No, Bo Diddley wasn't there.
No, I know he wasn't. Did he ever cross?
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting down at a festival, and Bo Diddley was playing, and like Dave and I were like hovering around like so that we could maybe bump into Bo. And anyway, there's like a communal tent and stuff, so we wander in there and like sit down across from him, and then we moved a little bit closer, and yeah, I'd said hello to Bo. He was really cool. He was something else.
I love those stories. Like you see him and you're like, well, if we can maneuver over.
You
don't want to blow it.
Well, yeah, and like being a fan, it's like, you know, hello, Mr. Diddley. My name's Roger. He was really cool as well.
If you think of you guys on Don Kirshner's rock concert doing I Just Want to Make Love to You, and then like right in the middle of that, Dave blasts into Who Do You Love?
Who Do You Love?
Yeah, so that's what made me think of the Bo Diddley. And,
I mean, I know how fortunate I am, you know, with my career and playing and stuff and the people that I've met. I mean, you know, entertain people. We're really fortunate. Playing music is special.
That's a good one. Let's use that one to wrap it up with what I think is an amazingly cool cat who, if you want to see some really neat hi-hat work, too, from drummer Roger Earl, just go on the YouTube, dial up Foghat on the Don Kirshner Rock Concert, and there's some video, and also don't forget to look up that, when you're checking out Sonic Mojo, which is, of course, their new record, but look for the blues tribute. Well, it's fun. It's the great Roger Earl. It's Foghat, and a great kind of thing to get to do around the holidays, to get to air this with you, my brother, and I hope you have fun. Thank you so much for being willing to come.
No, thank you, Dave. It's beautiful here.
I'm glad.
Hold on. Go out and I'll play a little piano.
I would love to have some piano. Very bonus thing here. Roger Earl Foghat. As he likes to say, not a piano player. Thank you.
That's it.
Maholo, Brother Dave.